This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is James Robbins, senior editorial writer for the Washington Times. He also served as a special assistant to then-Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. In Tuesday's edition of the Times, James wrote an editorial saying that the current president, Barack Obama, should be thanking President Bush for setting the proper policy moving forward in Iraq following what appears to be a very successful round of parliamentary elections over the weekend. And Jim, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Jim, you say that the president's not giving enough credit to the previous administration. What has he had to say, either good or bad, about what course the president left him with in Iraq?
Well, the current administration has said a lot of good things about Iraq, but has not given President Bush the credit I think he deserves for pursuing the policies that have given them the successful wind down to this war. When the current president, President Obama, was a senator, he denounced the surge policy. He wanted to pull out of Iraq precipitously. He was basically declaring the war a defeat. And now that he's president, he's enjoying the fruits of those same policies that he denounced. And it would be one thing if he would credit President Bush and at least say, you know, thank you for leaving me with this great legacy. But instead, Vice President Biden has declared that the Iraq war is going to be one of the great achievements of the Obama administration, and I really don't see what the current president has achieved in Iraq.
It hasn't really been polled on, as far as I know, but do you think that sort of effort is going to be believed by the American people?
I don't think the American people are paying much attention to the Iraq war right now. I don't think that they would believe that President Obama had anything to do with it. Certainly, he hasn't made any statements about Iraq recently other than to just take credit for things. But I think that the American people understand that President Obama pursued one policy when he was a senator, now has adopted President Bush's policies. And if anyone is interested in this, it's probably President Obama's left-wing anti-war base, who are no doubt disturbed that he has just continued the Bush policies unabated.
Jim, a couple of follow-up questions there. At some other point during the president's build-up, a few conservatives were saying, well, given where Obama was, and you talked about this a minute ago, a couple years before becoming president, the fact that he's staying with the Bush policy should at least be comforting in some way.
Well, I think it's good that he has, and it's probably making things turn out better in Iraq than they would have if the president had given in to his own instincts and pursued the policies that he had previously advocated. So, yes, he should get a certain amount of credit for doing that. The problem is he won't admit that that's actually what he's doing or even mention President Bush except in a negative context.
Jim, another thing that folks have noticed, and this goes back to the previous campaign and beyond, but even up to the current State of the Union address that we heard just a few weeks ago, the president reluctant to use the word winning or victory in any way associated with Iraq. Do you believe that's a good way to characterize what's happening there right now? And what do you make of the fact that he doesn't use that terminology?
It's difficult to talk about victory when you're dealing with a counterinsurgency. Even President Bush recognized this fact because it's harder to define. It's not like you're capturing somebody's capital, you know, detaining their leaders like World War II, that kind of thing. But I think that when you see the insurgents on the run, when you see elections like the one that was held last Sunday, not being covered as much by the news, you know, as though it's almost an ordinary thing, then you can start to say, yeah, we've accomplished our objectives. So we went in there to overthrow Saddam, to establish a democracy, to diminish the threat of terrorism, and all of these things have happened. So in my opinion, if you go to war and achieve your objectives and then take your troops out, you can call that a win.
James, some others are saying that before we can say that the policy is successful, you have to wait to see what happens once the bulk of the U.S. forces leave, and of course a huge percentage of them will be leaving later this year. Is that a good barometer, or is that just the next step in evaluating what, as you say, to this point has been successful?
Well, it is the next step, and then of course there's the question of what happens after the troops leave. Hopefully, if there are signs that troop withdrawal would lead to a resurgence of violence, we could slow that operation down. I mean, that remains to be seen. Obviously, we wouldn't have a victory on our hands if we pulled our troops out and then suddenly you know, terrorists were running about, the insurgents came back, the government fell. That would be bad. But right now there are no signs that anything like that is going to happen.
Jim, one more question before we let you go, and this goes back to the beginning of the Iraq War, because Karl Rove has a new book that hit stores this week, and a lot of the attention is being given to a quote where he said that if we had known back in 2003 that there were no WMD to be found, probably the war wouldn't have been fought. From your experience in the Pentagon at the time, what's your reaction to that?
I think it was a big mistake, and I said so even before the case on the record, that it was a big mistake to emphasize the WMD issue for this very reason. There were a lot of very good strategic reasons for taking out Saddam Hussein, but the WMD issue was the one that was seized on purely for legal reasons and to get our allies on board. Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz has discussed this, and for that reason it was overemphasized when there were a lot of other really good reasons for taking out Saddam. But because WMD became the single issue in the eyes of the media especially, once those weapons were not found, then the credibility of the whole operation was called into question, even though those other issues remained: human rights issues, support for terrorism, international aggression, and so forth. So I think that Mr. Rove is right on target on that, and it's a shame that the Bush administration did not emphasize those other issues with the same intensity as the WMD issue was emphasized.
And one a quick question here before we let you go, right back to the present, and that's these elections that took place over the weekend. Some examples of violence, but for the most part, safe elections, good-sized turnout, and the Iraqis provided the security. What's the most important headline coming out of this particular event?
Well, I think probably the most important headline is that Iraq can conduct an election on their own, that they have put together what looks like almost a functioning democracy. And really the biggest news is that there's no news. And when you're talking about a country that a few years ago people were talking about it was on the brink of civil war and disintegration, I think that's a huge headline.
That major progress indeed. James, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Jim Robbins is a senior editorial writer for the Washington Times, has served as a special assistant to Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.